Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
One of the great secrets to living the successful Christian life is that you not strive at it alone. God intends for you to strive together with Him and with your church family and other Christian friends. Next on Daily in the Word, stay tuned for a brand new series, Striving Together. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College. This past summer, we celebrated our 25th anniversary of ministry at Lancaster Baptist Church, and in commemoration of that event, Dr. Chapel preached a sermon series entitled Striving Together. In that series, he challenged us once again to continue living the successful and fruitful Christian life by striving together with the Lord and with each other. And we hope that this series will be a great encouragement and blessing to your heart as you discover once again that striving together is what the Christian life is all about. Before we hear today's message, I do want to remind you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. That's one of our ways of striving together with you and trying to encourage your spiritual growth. You'll find lots of resources and information about this ministry as well. All of it at dailyintheword.org. Today, we look at one of the greatest stories in all of the Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 17, and the message is entitled, Striving Together for Victory.
Is there something you're facing right now that is limiting your ability to step out and win great victories for the Lord? Many churches today are paralyzed and they're not entering into the battle as they should. Many pastors are afraid of seeming judgmental, so they don't preach the whole counsel of God. They don't preach against the sins of the day. Many times they're afraid of seeming weird, so they don't carry tracts or witness. And many Christians are afraid of the stigma of being a Christian, and so they don't step out and get involved in something like soul winning. And they're afraid of being called radical, so they don't tithe or attend maybe a midweek service or something of this nature. Many times we get gripped with fear as Christians and never reach our potential for God. But my Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And the devil, just like Goliath, is standing up often on the side of the mountain saying, you can't win the victory. I've got a better sword than you. I'm bigger than you are. And if you try to witness, you're going to be embarrassed, and I'll have your job, and I'll turn you over, and you're never going to be able to build a great work for God, and you're never going to have a great family for God. And just like Goliath, the devil breathes out threatenings against Christians every single day, and Christians fill with fear, and then they stand there like the brothers of David doing nothing when there's a great battle to be won for the Lord. I want to challenge some of you this morning. Get out into the battlefield with David tomorrow and stand for what is right. Strive with a cause, the cause of Jesus Christ. Notice, secondly, this man David was striving with a cause, but he was also striving with confidence. He wasn't striving alone. He was striving with the Lord. Now, he was confident for two basic reasons. Let's notice these. First, he was confident because of past victory. He had won some victories in the past that God had showed him what he can do. All of you who are facing great challenges tomorrow have probably had great victories yesterday. But the devil has a way of causing us to forget those victories, doesn't he? Notice what it says in 1 Samuel 11:34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go and be with, and the Lord be with thee. You know, the book of Romans says it this way in Romans 5 and verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. You see, my friend, the fact of the matter is that the trials of the past have worked patience and understanding into our heart. And tribulations worketh patience, but patience worketh hope. And we're able to step out onto the valley, and we're able to step out into the battle with hope in our hearts, because we can say, my God was able to deliver me from the lion and from the bear and from whatever you faced in your life and the trials of yesterday. And the God that brought me through yesterday will bring me through tomorrow. And that was the spirit that David had when he stood out on the battlefield. I think about all the battles and all the victories in these 25 years of ministry. I remember when we wanted to build that north building, and this was just a big dirt field out here at 40th and Lancaster Boulevard. And it was during a time of drought. We hadn't seen rain for quite some time in the Antelope Valley, and the city fathers had determined there would be no more building permits because of the drought. And here we were needing to begin construction on the church. And so we went into the city council meeting, and there was a huge crowd of people there to fight against any building at all. They wanted no more building in the city. Well, we stood there waiting our turn, and every time a developer would step up, they'd put a picture on the wall of their development, and then would come all these people to speak against it. One lady was over here. She had a cowboy hat on. She had her jeans and her cowboy outfit, and she'd walk up, and she would say to the city council, she said, my horses are thirsty. My horses have rights, and if you build any more buildings around here and take up the water, I'm going to sue you because my horses have rights. and it's kind of mean like that, you know. And so I couldn't believe my eyes, but the first few projects, five red lights, they voted against letting them build because of the drought. Well, our project was 90-02, and I remember they put a picture of the project of this campus up on the wall, and the predominant color was green. For those of you that are out-of-town guests, nothing is green in Lancaster without lots of water. And we were in the middle of a drought. And when that slide went up, the lady in the cowboy hat, you could hear her gasp all the way across the other side of the room. And they described the project and the baseball fields and landscaping, all this type of thing. And they said, is there anyone here to speak for the project? And I was young at that time. I'm still fairly young. Most of you are aware of that. But I was really young then, and I didn't know a lot about all these meetings, but I figured I was the one to speak for the project. And so I stood up behind the podium. I said, folks, I didn't realize how bad the drought really has been, to be honest with you. I said, but I'll tell you this, if you'll vote for the project, I'm going to ask our church to begin to pray. And we'll pray that God will bring rain. And I'll put that on our Wednesday night prayer list. If you'll vote yes for Lancaster Baptist Church Project, we'll begin to pray for rain. Well, they came back and they said, is there anyone to speak against the project? Everybody looked over at the lady in the cowboy hat. She just kind of tipped her hat down like John Wayne, you know, and just stood there. She didn't come out and speak against the project. And we got five green lights and they voted to approve our project. It was about several days later when the thunderheads began to roll in. I mean, the skies were clapping, the lightning was coming down, and it rained in this valley like, frankly, I've never seen it rain again. I mean, the rains came down. It was raining and raining, and I mean, the floods came down, and some streets in Lancaster you honestly could not cross unless you had a little rubber raft of some type. Finally, the waters receded, and I grabbed one of our assistant pastors. We went down to the Desert Inn down there at Antelope Valley Inn, I think it was, down at Sierra Highway. We walked in, and over to this side was the city council. They were all seated over there. I just couldn't help walking over and saying, hey, folks, how you doing? And it said, do you want us to stop praying for rain anytime soon? And one of them looked up at me and said, we know, Pastor Chapel, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, there is still a God in heaven who answers prayer. There's a God in heaven who says, hey, I gave you a victory back then. Why can't I give you a victory next year? I helped you to build this building. Why not the West Wing? I helped you to see this accomplished. Why not this child going forward for God? Oh, you see, our God is able to deliver confidence because of past victories. But notice, secondly, there was confidence because of proven resources. Now, notice David's resource. In verse number 37 of our text, he says, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. David knew that his main source for victory, his greatest power, would not come from himself, but it would come from the Lord. Paul said this to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. The power of God has always been the sustenance for a man who knows the purpose of God. Know your purpose and find his power and live according to that purpose and according to that power. David knew the power of God. Notice very quickly, David also had some proven weapons that he could use. And for those of you who've read the story, you know that Saul tried to get him to wear his armor. Saul tried to equip him in the latest and greatest armament. But the Bible says in 1 Samuel 17:40, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now, with the armor of Saul made available to him, David said, I don't need that. David went down to the stream I showed you a moment ago. He knelt down, he reached into that stream, and he took 5 rocks. Someone said, did he take 5 because he was afraid he might miss? No, I believe he took 5 because Goliath had 4 brothers, and he wanted to be ready just in case. Someone says, you mean the power of God and a slingshot? That's all that he had? My friend, with the power of God, that's all that you need. And he took that which God had used before in his life. This may not sound deeply theological to you, but did you know there are some things in this church that we stay with and that we depend upon because we believe they are proven tools in the hand of God? I am not an experimentalist pastor trying to use every newfangled fad that comes down the creek at Lancaster Baptist Church. There's many reasons I preach from the old King James Bible, but one of them is the fact it is a proven book. America has never had revival since the proliferation of all of the newer and many watered down versions. America has seen revival in the past when preachers stood and Christians held this old book and trusted it and preached from it. And I believe in proven things. I think about reasoning why we would stand behind the principles of just some old fashioned, Christ honoring conservative music and strong melody and wonderful doctrinal content. We're not going to experiment with our 16-year-olds on the so-called Christian rock and just kind of dancing around in the youth group and acting like the world. Look at these children are not our science experiment to mess around with. We want to find what has God used and what has God blessed. And I'm saying there's a reason we believe in the local New Testament church, because this is God's way of doing things. And there's a reason we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit of God, because it's not by might and it's not by power. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And you see, this morning, with churches trying every newfangled thing coming down the pike, every new thing on television, I'm just saying, David said, Saul, I don't need your armor. I've got God's power, and I can use a slingshot and a little rock. It's happened before. It'll happen again. And oh, listen, he was striving with confidence, not in himself, but in his God. But I want you to see, he was striving not only with a cause, striving not only with confidence in the Lord, but as we close this morning, he was striving for conquest. I mean, he was in it to do something great for the glory of God. He was in it that God would bring victory in his life. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 41, the first conquest David saw was his own conquest over fear. His own conquest over fear. And let me just say, until we win that personal battle, we're not winning the rest of them. And in verse number 41, the Bible says, "And the Philistine came and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Now Goliath disdained this man David. He held him with a contemptuous spirit as an unworthy opponent. He defied David by his gods, his pagan gods. And we must recognize today, as we do this spiritual battle, very, very important, that the battle and the hatred is not always against us. It is the God that we serve. 1 Samuel 17:10, the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And you see, the defiant spirit was against Israel and the God of Israel. Goliath disdained David. He defied David's God. He defamed David. And all of this was a threat coming out against David. But David had to get conquest over his own fear. And then secondly, he had a conquest through faith. Now notice in verse 45, you're going to see that the size of a dog in the fight is not as significant as the size of the fight in the dog. Amen? You're going to find out that David, though he may have been about 5'2", he was going to stand against this 9'6" giant with great courage. Verse 45, notice what he says. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear and with the shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. I want you to see, first of all, that David had faith in the name of the Lord. And I want to say to you this morning, there is power in the name of the Lord. There is power, wonder-working power, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know, when you face those giants, and I want you to know that when you face the devil threatening out and telling you he's going to rip you apart and feed you to the dogs, there is only one name that you need to come to and cling to and claim, and that is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. Psalm 20 and verse 1, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Verse 5, we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God will we set up our banners. The Lord fulfill thy petitions. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now you understand me this morning. I believe America needs a strong defense. I'm very concerned about China's building up of their armament. And while America discusses maybe having to cut back, I believe in a strong national defense. But more than that today, America needs to come back to the name of the Lord. We need to get back to that place where we stop taking the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse and stop telling young people they can't pray in Jesus' name at their graduation. Why, the mayor of New York this past week said they're going to have a memorial service on 9/11, but there will be no clergy allowed. There'll be no reference to God, according to the mayor of New York. My Bible says the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. The fool hath said in his heart, no God. And while America says no to God, the hand of blessing that was taken off of Saul is being taken off of America today. And you understand, more than we need another airplane, we need revival in this land. And we need some mayor and some congressmen and perhaps some preachers to get down on their face before God and repent of their sin, to realize if there will be victory won in America again, it will come from the name of the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, you see. there must be faith in the name of the Lord because there's power in the name of the Lord. Oh, my friend, America's not a great name. Excuse me. America's not a great nation today because of the name of Buddha. And America's not a great nation today because of the name of Allah. And America's not a great nation today because of the Wiccans or any other religion. I believe today that God has blessed America because we have been faithful to His name. And all of us need to pray for the spirit of David upon our leaders, a man who said, I want you to know my public platform. I'm making my first political appearance. I'm going to give my first moment of national leadership. I want everybody on that hillside, including my brother Eliab, to know this, that when victory comes, it comes from God and God alone. It's not from me, David said, but the victory's coming from God. Faith in the name of the Lord. Faith in the power of the Lord. Would you catch that with me in verse 47? And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to David, to meet David, that David hasted, and he ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Hey, can I just tell you something? You don't have to mope into work tomorrow. Well, got to go to another day with all these unsaved folk. Hope I don't get fired for being a Christian. You ought to get kicked in the seat of the britches for being a Christian like that. You don't have to mope in tomorrow. Listen, you're a child of the King of Kings. You're the apple of His eye, my friend. You walk in there as David did. He ran toward the enemy, and David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sunk in his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Listen, my friend, I'm talking about a guided missile into the head of Goliath by our Almighty God. And David said, I want the whole assembly to know that this victory is from the Lord. Would you look at 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 4? And trust, and such trust have we through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And when you face your day tomorrow, and when you shake the doctor in his hand, and when you look at your boss, and when you face that unsafe spouse, and you go through those difficult times, I want you to know the sufficiency is not going to be of yourself. It's not of me, but it's all of our God. Someone says, why? That chapel thinks they can build a church over there that's some kind of a distinctive Christian assembly in this day in which we live. This chapel thinks nothing of that sort. I believe that if there's going to be a distinctive Christian assembly built, if there's going to be a group of called out saints in Lancaster serving the Lord in this place, it's not by us, my friend. It's going to happen by the mighty hand of God. Oh, you see, it's Him. It's all of Him. Hudson Taylor said many missionaries estimate difficulty in light of their own resources, and thus they attempt very little, and they always fail. All who have done great things for God first reckon on His presence and His power to guide them. If you're looking around to see how your spear and sword and how you're doing, it just gets more discouraging every time, because we never have enough. But if you'll take a look up ahead, there's a God ready to meet you tomorrow. He'll walk with you into the valley of Elah. And with God, all things are possible. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, I pray this morning that you'd help us to face the Goliath of tomorrow with the faith of David. Help us to discover our purpose and to know your power.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, the daily teaching and preaching ministry of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Thanks so much for joining us for today's edition of Daily in the Word. And I want to encourage you, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven and that Jesus Christ is in your life, I want to encourage you to visit us online or to call us toll-free and let us talk with you about that. We would be happy to help you understand more clearly what it means to trust Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Again, 1-800-201-7748. or you can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Not only can you find out more information about salvation, but there's a lot of resources on our website that will help you and encourage you in your spiritual growth, including a daily devotional from Dr. Chapel, links to recent broadcasts that perhaps you missed, also a way to subscribe to the podcast of Daily in the Word so you can take this program with you on your iPod or on your computer to listen to at your convenience. This and many, many more resources are available at dailyintheword.org. I want to encourage you to be sure to check out the link about new publications resources. You'll see the photo there on the homepage. There's a link to Dr. Chapel's new book. Mrs. Chapel has written a new book entitled The Choice is Yours, and many other resources that we know will encourage you in your journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. All of this again at dailyintheword.org. We'd love to hear from you. Toll free 1-800-201-7748, or write to us. Send your letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, that's Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thank you so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.